Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to KingScottRadioTV.com. Boy, do we have a show for you today. But this is not just a show. It's a ride on glory. Ladies and gentlemen, we're introducing a new broadcast, and it's called A Pastor's View, where we actually talk to pastors of different churches about their viewpoint as to how they see the 21st century world today, as it is now. I have a pastor on the line. We're doing this over the airways of the telephone today. And this is such a unique situation because this particular pastor and I went to seminary school together. And I tell you, he was great then and he is great now. So the pastor that I'm talking about is Pastor Alfred Wright. Pastor, would you tell us a little bit about your church, about you, and maybe even some little family stuff so we can get everybody in from the start?
Amen, amen. Thank you for having me, my brother. I so appreciate this opportunity to share with you all. I tell you, I am a native of Washington, D.C. That's first and foremost. You know that's important. born and raised in the city. Praise God. Roots back to Georgia, but born and raised in Washington, D.C. I am definitely excited to tell you that. But not only that, I have come through some time serving in the fire department, even serving the citizens of the District of Columbia to the Washington, D.C. Fire and EMS Department, where I retired after 32 years in 2001. Praise be unto God for that.
Yes, yes.
But immediately following that, and after serving over 20 years at Unity Baptist Church in various capacities, the Lord called me to St. Philip's Baptist Church over in Temple Hills, where I now pastor. St. Philip's originally was in Washington, D.C. at North Capitol and K Street Northwest. Northeast, excuse me, and they were there for many years, and the pastor, Pastor Andre Owens, who many know, actually was at the helm at the time, and after 43 years of serving, after transitioning over to Temple Hills, he retired, and under his recommendation, and of course the church desire, and of course it's not by the church or his recommendation, but it's by God's design.
Hallelujah.
That I serve now as pastor there, and I've been there now. As a matter of fact, on this coming Sunday will be my second year serving as pastor, where the people of God are growing. I tell you, I'm excited. But just a family note, I thank God for my wife, of course, and my children. My wife, Beatrice Wright, Minister Beatrice Wright, who's serving alongside me, along with my children who are working in the ministry. We have three children, Alfred III, Aaliyah, and Alexis. And then we have three grandchildren and yet one on the way. And so we are, God is truly blessing us in this season. And so we thank God for what he's doing.
Wow. That is awesome. Now, I want to give a little bit more description about the church, because I was actually there on a couple of occasions, and that church, that particular church, has historic value, if I'm correct?
Yes. The original edifice at North Capitol in K, one is, of course, deemed a historic structure. It also was a part of the original, the Underground Railroad. The rear portion of the church was a place of stowaway for those who were, of course, on the Underground Railroad, which was actually, prior to them leaving that edifice, was damaged tremendously by a fire that took place in that portion of the building. And so, yes, it is
Okay, so now, I am also from Washington, D.C., born and bred, and it's a couple of things I know about that area. Down in K Street is where what some would call the hood. Now, some of you folk may not know what that means, but it was in a economically undeveloped area. In that circle, and that church served as a galvanizing point for people to come in and learn about Jesus and the things that it takes to get out of desperate situations. Now, if I remember correctly, Pastor Wright, there was a woman's prison almost directly across the street?
That is correct. Yeah, it was there for many years. And, of course, you know, through the gentrification that has happened and is happening in Washington, D.C., many of those residents that lived in that community there have sold their residence and or been moved to other low-income housing. There are very few buildings in that community now that house individuals of low income. That is a high-rent district, as you would call it now.
Wow.
And yes, there were two major churches in that community, and St. Philip's was one, along with Mount Airy Baptist Church, which was the other. And they're literally diagonal to one another. One is in, put it like this, one is in northeast, and one is in northwest. And so they kind of made their statement in that community as a place that equipped the disciples of God and was a place that people could go to find that peace that they so sought in the church. And what's sad is many of the churches in that area and in Washington, D.C. are literally squeezed out because of development. It makes it impossible for your parishioners to park. It makes it impossible for parishioners to live in the community because of affordability. So a lot of things impact that church, which yield to what has happened to St. Philip's, which due to destruction of the current edifice by the building of a 10-story building right adjacent to it, it caused so much damage that it was beyond repair.
Wow.
And so that's what really was the stamp for them to have to vacate the building because it became inhabitable.
Well, it's I have a little story. Now, this what we're talking about is a pastor's view. And this view is going backwards first, and then we're going to move forward. But this is what we see as we grow up in God, and serving Jesus is such an important part of this because he has the ability to give you a backward look and a forward view. And that's what we're talking about today, a pastor's view. Now, one other thing about that particular area, I remember when I was a kid, I believe that was North Capitol Street that it was basically on or coming down. I remember seeing people jumping out of a window with a sheet to parachute out of that particular prison. That was a women's prison. And I remember seeing that. I couldn't have been no more than 10 years old, if not younger. And so the area itself now to hear from Pastor Wright that now it's high class condominiums, basically, is shocking, a little disappointing, because what happened to the people that were there in that community? Where'd they go? Where did society and politics send them to? That's the $64 question that we have as pastors looking forward. Where did you put them? Because they had to go somewhere. They did not disappear. So these are the things that we're talking about here. Now, one other footnote, we have to give homage to Pastor McNeil, because we both served under his leadership, and we have to give him a shout out because he was such, or is such, a dynamic leader in and of his own right. And he's over at Unity Baptist Church, and it was a pleasure for the time that I was there to work with these two icons in the community. It's a balancing act for sure. And his beautiful wife served right along beside him as well. Amen. And there's so many others on that team that we learn from.
Yes,
amazing.
Yes, sir.
Simply amazing. Now, Pastor, specifically, where do you see the church community in this 21st century of Christianity? How we, or what we should be doing from your viewpoint?
Hey, man, you know, that's an interesting question, because as I look to the Bible, which in Psalm 121, where it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence come my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. As we look at this 21st century church that we are in today, which is drastically changing with time. The foundation of the church, even as we look into the book of Acts, talks about where we come from. But as time has begun to shift, there's so many things that have begun to pollute the church itself. The church has now become big business. The church, in many cases, has now become a resting place for folks who also have their eyes on the wrong goal. Mm-hmm. But then it also remains that the church is the representation of a kingdom which shall never fall. I was reading a book which talks about the autopsy of the deceased church. It spoke of the understanding that the church was dying, that the church that is dying needs to be revived. But I must say that in this 21st century, there is one thing that we can always rest in, and that is that the church will never die. As long as we live, the church will never die. And the problem is so many have been damaged, so many have been wounded, so many have found the convenience of not attending. So many believe that the church is irrelevant. And so you have all of these different faith faiths that are now encouraging people to come follow us, and you don't have to give a thing. You don't have to go out of your home. You can sit right home and do exactly what you've been doing all of these years. And as this new generation is coming up, that's what they look to. And so we, the church, not only must maintain relevance, because we can lose our relevance, but we tend to lose our relevance because we try to change the message. I think our message should never change. It should always be that Christ lived, died, and rose again. It should always be that there is nothing that can come against the kingdom of God that can tear it down. It should always be that if you trust in Him, He will lead you. But as long as we begin to water down what it is the Bible says, the church itself will begin to diminish in many communities. It will be that small group. It will be those senior saints that have been there forever. And we will lose our ability to impact our communities. And that's why, I'll be honest with you, Doc, as you mentioned earlier, the fact that communities are changing so drastically, many don't live where their churches are. community churches, those places where people have grown and raised their children, are beginning to find themselves in the toughest position because, one, they have lost the support, and, two, convenience has killed the Christian. Everything is too convenient.
Now, I mean, I'm always in awe when you speak, because you speak with such clarity. I want to encourage people in your community to come see you.
Wow.
They need this kind of encouragement, and they may not know it.
Mm-hmm.
They may not know that they need the encouragement so that they can push forward and become disciples themselves. This is about kingdom building, and a pastor's viewpoint is to bring us all in together to worship the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what's important. There's no big I's and little U's. And everybody can play a role. There's enough room at the table for everyone. If we support each other, like we did back in Redwood, our businesses support each other's businesses. The monopoly of that in itself serves God, because our mission is about Him. And I don't want people to get confused with the holy rollers and people who are faking, because that's in there too. Don't think that the church, when you walk in, everybody's well. No, everyone's sick, and we need help. We need to be diagnosed by the blood. And if we do that, our communities can begin to change. Now, can you talk about some of the things that you're doing in your community? Because, again, they need to come see you to hear this, but they can hear it today and get a forecast of what they're going to get when they get there.
Amen, amen. Well, praise be unto God. Since the Lord has placed me where at St. Philip, you know, one of the main focal points has been discipleship. And that was discipling the inside. One of the things you just mentioned a moment ago is that many come to the church and believe that everybody is supposed to be quote-unquote, on their game, shall we say, or having been so grounded in the Word of God that they don't have any challenges, which is far from the truth. You know, the church is that hospital for sick children. But one of the things that God had laid upon me as we look into this discipleship aspect is one thing about houses and even our very own private homes. Before we invite people over, the first thing we do is get our houses in order.
Mm.
We make sure that we put everything in its proper place. We don't have stuff hanging all over. Children are prepared. The living room is straight. The kitchen is, everything is straight, even the floor. We wipe everything down so there are no dust mites. And so with the, in discipling, those who were already there when God planted me there, the goal was to get the house in order. And so we've been focusing on discipleship, and now we've streamed into evangelism. We do, we're now working on our next evangelism prayer walk, which will happen on August the 5th, where we walk the community and we go out and we share and we pray. To be honest with you, that was one of the greatest things that God placed on us, because we walked to a shopping center, which is directly up the street from the church, maybe a two-minute walk, where a young man had shot the Subway sandwich shop up, shot an employee, and someone had shot a person at the gas station, and all kinds of things. But, you know, we walked up there, and there were so many people that came out of the stores that just wanted prayer. And so we have focused on evangelizing that community. And since evangelizing, the church and discipleship has grown, but numerically, the church has doubled in size in the 2 years. So I tell you, we have a community day and backpack day coming up August 19th, starting at 10 a.m. right over there in Temple Hills at 3415 Brinkley Road, Temple Hills, Maryland, where we are right on our parking lot. We will be passing out backpacks for children, offering free hairdos for the young ladies, haircuts for the young boys, or whomever wants a haircut. We're going to have a moon bounce. We're going to have a pop-up shop, so there'll be vendors out there. We're going to be giving away for the food lovers free food, fresh fish, hamburgers, hot dogs, beverages. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. And guess what? Just because we love that community so and we believe in planting, we're also going to have some people out there talking about health and wellness, first aid and CPR for our seniors. We're going to have medication reviews. We're going to offer so much. And then guess what? Just because we like to have a good time, we're going to have a DJ out there playing music, and we're going to have some seniors from the community center that will be coming out. It's a senior line dance team. They're going to come out and do some line dancing for it. And so we just want to have a good time in the Lord and that community for 5 hours. Remember the date. It is August the 19th, and we are starting sharply at 10 a.m. And bring your children, bring your friends, bring your family. You don't have to live in the community. You don't have to pay a fee to come in. Just come on the lot and join us and have the experience of a lifetime. And you will never forget that day. And remember that we will invite you to come back and worship with us.
That's terrific. We're going to be a part of that here up in Cumberland, Maryland. We're up here in the West Virginia area of Maryland. Amen. We are also a food bank, and we have a connection with the Maryland Food Bank where we can donate some food boxes of fresh vegetables, dry goods. So we're going to be a part of that. We're going to work the mojo over here because there's nothing wrong with us working together. At my father's table, which is the church that I pastor, we are doing things in this community, but this community is ladled with a history of confusion that we're trying to decipher. And it takes people like ourselves to first follow God and to give direction where it needs to be given. It's amazing to see that you have grown as much, but you've always been this way. Working under others to become a great leader. And this is not patting him on the back. It's patting Jesus. So I'm elated with what we are hearing. And we're going to do everything we can from this radio station to make sure that everything is a success. We just want to be a part of the team. Again, it's no big I's and little U's. Now, I know some of you all hear these little noises coming in. That's actually people calling in. People call into the station all the time. And sometimes we ignore it simply because the conversations that we're holding are so important. And then we get back to the phone calls because we don't ignore phone calls. It's just at the right time we can answer them and give direction. So we're going to definitely point people in this direction that you're in with St. Philip's and see what happens. And where God is going to serve as correction, because we always can get better. Always. We're never perfect at helping either. Just like we're not perfect human beings. So now, what more can you share in terms of now, the book of Acts, we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. The book of Acts pretty much so explains what the church should be doing. Why we don't exactly follow it.
I'm sorry.
and that's okay. I don't know, but the book of Acts gives that description. What other things are you doing in terms of education and educating the community more about Christ? Because that's the key part in order to get the discipleship moving.
Amen. One of the things that believe is paramount to the progression of the disciples of God and the kingdom is through Christian education. I currently serve in a couple capacities which are paramount and focused therein, such as you mentioned serving in the seminary together. I now serve on the board of trustees with the Washington Baptist Seminary, but I also serve as the president of the Congress of Christian Education for the National Capital Baptist Convention. And that literally is the arm that focuses totally on Christian ed. So what we are doing is we are taking, as they say, the show on the road. We are publicizing the importance of Christian ed, but not only that, we're using various tools and different talents. We're using the virtual footprint, such as we do classes on Zoom now. They're offered to every community, every church, every convention. We're looking for the sinner and the saint. These are classes that focus on our men's ministries, focus on our women, focus on officers of the church, focus on the pastor, people who have been in circumstances and have overcome, classes for overcomers, those who need to learn what discipleship is, Bible and biblical studies. So literally what we are doing is we are now going to the community as opposed to us keeping the word in the four walls. You know how that can be.
Yes.
You know, the Lord told us in Matthew 28, and that great commission, go. I always stand on the first word, go. All right. First, you got to go. In order to baptize, in order to tell them, in order to share the truth of the Lord, you first must go. And so we have that model that we are no longer a stay kind of church. We are a go. And so that is the mode that we use. And so that comes through using social media platforms, YouTube. We use Instagram, Facebook, and as well we do email chains. And what I do with our young adult, and I extend it to young adults because I believe that sometimes we say you have to be a member to get involved in everything in a church, and that kind of makes things hard because, you know, membership is a scary thing, you know.
Right.
Don't become members. So what I believe is the best thing to do, and what we do is for our young adults, I have what's called Let's Talk. It's a session on Thursdays. We meet twice a month on Thursday, and we literally deal with daily events, but we use a biblical observation. Because one of the things that our young people, our youth, our young adults have lost and some have never received is a biblical observation and for their worldview. Many of their worldviews are so skewed. And so we use Let's Talk. And one of our most recent discussions, you know, centered on our young adults knowing who they are and whose they are. So easy to answer and say, I know who I am, call myself by name, but in actuality, who are you? Where do you come from? Who are you grounded in? What has brought you to where you are today? And as a matter of fact, who and what has made it possible for you to receive the things that you have received? So, Doc, we have taken that, as I said before, we've taken a different approach to how we share the gospel. Can no longer stay in the four walls and think that it's going to fall out the doors and through the cracks.
Yes.
Now have to go.
I'm on that same page. We have some of the similar teachings coming from Washington Baptist Seminary, and you know, those times were so, I mean, we were educating ourselves. We had great professors. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, your wife was one of the professors, correct?
Yes, sir. She served in as assistant instructor for Greek under Dr. A. Michael Black.
So coming into the school, I meet a sister that speaks Greek. Now, how you know, that doesn't happen every day.
Amen.
That just doesn't happen every day. I like the prescription that you're describing here, because we can play a part of that. YouTube and Facebook and all those different platforms are good. We have our own. We have a King Scott Radio. We have other radio mediums. We have a King Scott Radio also has a TV portion, and we're going to make sure that we get involved with that, because again, if we don't service ourselves, we'll never get out of some of the economic holes that we're in. Everyone can go to the bank, to the grocery store, to McDonald's at our leisure, because we all have. And if we do that, I think it serves a good mechanism for us to uplift ourselves and pass it on to those grandbabies you were talking about, because that's coming up next. So we're looking forward to doing more. Generally, I do a musical break here, but this stuff is so potent. And I kind of expected this, because I know this brother. I know what he's capable of. So I'm just following what God is telling me to do, is to let him go. Let him talk about what he's doing in his community and how we can support that. He'll help us in our community. We have things that we can give as well, bringing some boxes of food down there to give away for free. We're not asking you to you know, slip us $10 or anything like that, because, you know, church can be a player's deal as well. But we're not coming at you that way. We're coming to you with truth and sincerity that we really want our communities to get out of this killing. Now, the last question that I have for you it would be all the killing that's going on in not just Washington, D.C., but all over. What is your viewpoint on that?
Interesting enough to note, you know, one of the many things I've come to understand about health, I'll just use that for an example. Doctors in many cases have to address people after their health is bad. have begun to believe that the only way they're going to get to the top is that one, people respect them because of their status on the streets, or two, they have money, and so in order to get the money, you have to do this. And so, Doc, I tell you, the problem is we've taken what keeps us in the bosom of God, and we've wrapped it up and hidden it so long, and now we're not pouring into the communities where the churches used to be. We're kicking people out. We're casting them down. They're confusing them. They're talking about white, black. They're talking about everything, but we are not talking about the source. Satan been here for forever.
Yes. Principalities in high places.
Hey, this trickery has not changed. What King Scott Radio is doing is now putting on point the fact that there is something greater in this world, and you're using your platform as a vessel to be a voice for the voiceless. And so what you're doing is a piece of what goes towards treating the symptom. What the church can be doing is a piece of what can go towards treating the symptom. But what the politicians do, what the big business does, is they say, listen, I'll give you this, 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 and this. Just like, you know, Jesus and Satan, after Jesus came out of that long break, that fast and prayer, and he was fatigued and weary, you know, Satan tried to trick him. But look, many of our young people fatigued, they're weary, they're worn out, they're tired, wearing the same clothes, don't have food in the fridge. I can't focus. They got me on medication. They have me afraid. They're treating us like this because we're black. They don't take care of our schools. Mold is everywhere. And then now Satan, they're in a worse and weak place. And Satan says, here, take this. Here, try this. Here, use this.
My. I'm in awe as usual. You know,
I'm so thankful to God, though, you know, that we're getting to a place that it is becoming very, very, very important to us to begin to go at the center. We have to catch these babies before they become old enough. Who'd ever thought that you would see a child 5 years old standing on a balcony, a toddler, standing on a balcony or in the vestibule of his apartment complex outside of his residence where his father is in the house asleep with a gun in his hand.
With a gun in his hand. Like, we as we say back in the day, we tripped off of that because I was in awe. I want to, you know, it's funny. I'm glad I'm in ownership here because I can do what God tells me to do. I want to talk about your wife for a moment because I know that you two are a dynamic couple, and I want to make sure that we acknowledge the things that she is doing and have done. She's a powerful speaker in her own right, similar to my wife. When I got married, I knew that this was special. She has oratorical ability beyond mine, and I just needed to get her in front of a microphone through Jesus. But I know your wife, and I've seen this. This is not what someone told me. I have seen them in action. I've seen the purity in their heart. And this is why I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, all 1.6 million of you, go see these people. Don't come see me yet. Go see them. Because I know that they've been at this for some years. I'm still on a training wheels. I'm just recently married, 2 years. These people got, wow. How many years have you all been married now?
29 years.
So I can't hold a flicker at the moment. And if God allows me to live, we'll get there. But I know I've seen them in action. So please tell us what Minister Beatrice is doing these days in and of her own right.
Oh, my man, I tell you, listen, that's my best girl there. What'd they say? That's my best girl.
Yeah.
we have been married, 29 years, Doc, and as B is serving with me at St. Philip, she is the director of our evangelism. And, of course, our outreach, that is, her passion is evangelism. And therefore, she also held up our prayer calls, and is, of course, an intricate part of the ministry because, you know, as all of us, you know, the Bible tells us he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And
yes.
So, I count her a great thing because without her, there is no me. Of course, you know, I give all glory and honor to God because none of this is of me. I'm not capable. I don't have the wit. I'm not a doctoral student from Harvard University. I am just little old D.C. boy who God saw fit to use. And so with having her by my side, my wife, man, is the prayer warrior for our house. She covers us, children and all. That woman knows the power of prayer, and she has much discernment.
Yes.
And passion. So, Doc, as you and I, as we were serving together at Unity, you know, she was praying for us on a consistent basis, Doc. No, because you know how it is. It is crazy to hear how God is moving.
Yes, yes.
But then to see how God moves through someone who you love so much is amazing.
It's amazing.
And so God is using her, man, in ways beyond my understanding. He may have set me apart to be pastor. I tell you, Doc, that's my pastor there.
Yeah, it's funny. I say the same thing to my wife. But, you know, you mentioned something. If I remember correctly, you were the number one student.
Yeah, I am.
And the guy that you beat out. The funny thing, the guy that you beat out was me. I mean, it was, you know, I thought.
It was my fault.
Right. I thought I was, you know, I really enjoyed learning about God. I really embraced it. I was always on time, ready to learn. And, you know, he was sitting two spaces behind me. And I heard this voice come up in class. And I said, Who's that back there? And I turned around and looked at him. And I said, wow, this is going to be interesting. So I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I've seen Pastor Wright operate. I mean, he's very thorough. That's why I'm suggesting that you go see him. And we're going to make sure that we put you in our feed to help edify the church in that community. And with your wife being, I remember just hearing her pray at Unity sometimes. People will be captivated. You know, they say close your eyes, but you had to look at her in her moments of praising the Lord. She can just flat out do it. She's like the Michael Jordan. And I'm not exaggerating. And you go see for yourself. Don't believe me. Assume that I'm telling you a lie. But you go see her pray. You go see him preach. You will know that you are in the right place in that community. And KingScottRadioTV Dr.com is going to make sure that we do everything we can to help, and our other colleagues, because he surrounded himself with some good professional people who understand the mission of God, and I believe them. If you say Pastor Wright is there, I know he is with good people around him, because he don't play. You can come in there faking if you want to. He'll pull it out of you. Pull that spirit out of you and replace it with some love, some understanding, the fruits of the Spirit. I can contest to that. And ain't nothing changed, ladies and gentlemen, back then to right now. So, Pastor Wright, I'm going to allow you to just close us out in prayer. But is there anything else you want us to know? Not that you're not coming back, because you are. If I got to come down there and arrest you.
Please don't lock me up.
In the studio, and just give the mic to him, because he is worthy of these opportunities that he's getting. God trained him. But is there anything else you want us to know now that we can, when we put this on the air as we go forward, you can come back and talk more about it after it happens? But what else do you want to tell us now?
Listen, the one thing I do want to say is, ladies and gentlemen, a genuine man he is, and that is you. And we thank you, the community of God, thank you for your humility. And as we watched each other grow from the ground to where we are today, I have seen God take and transform a man's life right before my very eyes. To see him today brings joy to my heart. And if there is anything that we as a community can do, is we can support King Scott Radio in every way. I don't care if it's pouring a seed in, if it's praying for, if it's just sending letters of hope via email or text or whatever in support of what God is doing through him. Because I remember, Doc, we all remember when.
Yes.
But
yes.
I've come to believe, as Paul said, I forget those things which are behind, and I press towards that mark. That high, the prize of that high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, and I thank God for you pressing. But about me, all I can say is, listen, I stand by, and I ask that you stand by to see what God is going to do with the kingdom of God. Yeah, it's not me, it's him, and I am just allowing him to use me as a vessel. And so, listen, keep praying for us. And let your listeners know they can find us on SPBC, the acronym for the church, St. Philip Baptist Church, SPBC Media, on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all of those areas. But we want to make an investment, St. Philip Baptist Church and myself, we want to make an investment in supporting your ministry here at King Scott Radio. So we look forward to an opportunity to fellowship yet again, and to share also. And I'd be glad to get my wife in so she can blow the knobs off your radio.
Yes, Lord, please, because I'm thinking in my mind, I'm sitting here imagining my wife, your wife, and some other potent people, because we know a lot of them that can do some things in their own right. And, you know, we don't have to go to other mediums. We have our own, and we can use our own.
Amen. And if I could, and, you know, and that's a blessing, because we want to support our communities. Because at the end of the day, all of those companies that I mentioned, at the end of the day, don't pull back into your community.
No, they don't.
They use you as a resource to also get their product and others' products out there.
Yeah.
A millionaires become what they are. But none of that, what they do, is about building up the kingdom of God. And so that's why supporting what you do is even more imperative than going.
make sure that this broadcast gets up. I'm going to put it on full blast. We can get people in Ghana and the UK, all over the world, via cell phone. It's not complicated. You can get your cell phone and bring up KingScottRadioTV.com, and you'll hear about this, A Pastor's Viewpoint with Pastor Alfred Wright and his wife as well. And we just going to keep doing this over and over until God calls us.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I know that you sometimes hear my voice break. It's because we go way back when we were little to nothing, and God decided to use us. And to come forward now, it's just amazing to see that if you trust Him, He will come through for you. And so I cannot help myself to listen to Pastor Wright, to hear about Minister Beatrice, to hear about his family. I mean, I saw it myself. So again, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another broadcast of KingScottRadioTV.com. We appreciate Pastor Wright's time, and we're going to make sure that we give it to God and let Him decide what He wants to do with it. And we already know that He's going to blow it up, because that's just the kind of God that He is. So, Pastor Wright, thank you. Please give your wife a holy hug from myself and my wife, and we'll get together real soon. And again, thank you for your time, and I will text you and let you know when the broadcast is up, which as soon as I get off the air, I'm going to put it on the air. So you guys be blessed, and again, we will talk with you real soon. Take care.
Likewise.
All right. Bye-bye.
May God be upon you. God bless.
This has been another broadcast by KingScottRadioTV.com. We want to continue to pay homage to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the real deal. I can just tell you that the people that we're going to be talking to are so genuine. And if we tell you to go see them, you go see them in Jesus' name. Amen.